thank you for the benefits of his resurrection that we are able to gather together to celebrate as one body, members of the same church for which he died. Thank you, Lord. Be with us at this time. Speak to our hearts, because we need to understand the meaning of the resurrection and live according to your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Happy Easter to you all. Before I proceed, I want to thank God for this day and the provost and the team of the cathedral, the committee for the construction of the All Saints New Cathedral, which is a blessing. And as the provost was talking about it, I said, thank you, Lord. This far, the Lord has led us. Let me thank you all for your faithfulness in supporting this project. And I want to tell you, and later members of the committee will give us more updates, but we are on schedule, and we hope that by August we shall have the roof on, God willing. Are you not happy to hear that? And the committee and the cathedral team organized that every Tuesday there is an opportunity, if you have some time, to go to the site and see for yourself what is happening. So if you can find time, maybe at lunchtime, come over and see your project. The new cathedral is God's project. It is indeed your project. You'll be happy to know that the first gallery was finished, and the second gallery is on the way, and we want to thank God for the good work that is going on. Let me request you again, as you have faithfully given, continue to give generously and lovingly, so that in God's time, we shall finish the cathedral and sit under one roof, peep in the tent. We are looking forward to that time when we can sit together under one roof. And as you know, there is nothing impossible with God. And again, I want to say, God loves a cheerful giver. Let me also chip in. You've been waiting for a long time to see Church House completed. I have good news for you. We are working hard. Next month, month of May, we may see the Church House handed over to us, and we plan the day for commissioning it. And those of you who have been going through Kampala Road opposite Bank of Uganda, you know what I'm talking about. And our first tenant to get into the building will be Equity Bank, our great partner. Praise the Lord for Equity Bank. Mama Beatrice sends her greetings. She's not with me. We have been on leave. We are still going on with the leave. I came only for the Holy Week because I know you'd not forgive me if I said I'm on holiday. We are like doctors and soldiers, so I came to do the Lord's work, and I'm happy to be here. So she sends her love and greetings, and God willing, I'll be joining her later this evening in Hoima. This time we didn't go outside the country because we had family work to do in the village in Hoima. Praise the Lord. It is Easter Day again when we join other Christians in this country and all over the world to rejoice and celebrate the greatest event of our Christian history and identity, which marked the victory of Jesus called the Christ, the Messiah, over death. Because Jesus died on Friday at the ninth hour, when the whole world was filled with darkness, which seemed to be a sad moment of defeat and despair. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was bad news by that time. The Jewish government, the Jews and the Romans were happy. They knew they had finished him. But that was not the end of the story. It sounded to be a loss, despair, and defeat, but it was not the case. But for that day, for the disciples and the women who followed Jesus faithfully, it was a sad moment, a sad Friday. But the good news is that Jesus had accomplished his mission of redemption of humanity, you and I. He had bridged the gap between God and us. And he said, on the cross, it is finished. He had accomplished the mission that had brought him into the world, the third person of the Trinity. And God had loved the world and had sent him to be our Savior, to reconcile us back to God. Sin had separated us from our Creator, And the story is in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, when God had given Adam and Eve mandate to oversee the creation, then they disobeyed by eating the fruit of the tree in the center of the garden. They were separated from God, and that brought eternal judgment. But good news is that God continued to look for humanity. He came into the garden in the cool of the evening and said, "Adam, where are you?" And Adam, as it is the predicament of humanity, gave reasons. "I heard you walking in the garden, and I hid myself because I was naked." Can you hide from your Creator? Is it possible to hide from God? So God continued to reach out because He has love, and He continued to reach out to humanity. The guilt of it and its consequences engulfed us continuously. It demanded God's intervention. His only begotten Son, Jesus, had to die in order to save us and reconcile us to Himself. As John chapter 3, verse 16 says, that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish, but have everlasting life. So it was God's purpose of salvation to send His own only Son to liberate us and to give His life as a ransom. As Prophet Isaiah talks about the suffering servant, Jesus, he says that by His wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. By the suffering of Jesus, as we remembered on Good Friday, when He was being tortured, beaten, and spat on, He was doing it for you and for me. And on the cross, He carried all our baggage and He finished it, so we have no excuse. We are free to go to the throne of grace and then have our forgiveness by the wounds of Jesus, by the nails that were pushed through His hands that never committed sin, and His side, the body that never sinned. By those wounds we are healed. Praise the Lord. Jesus suffered Himself as a perfect sacrifice once and for all. So friends, we no longer need spirits of the dead. We no longer need to go to worship on the mountains, not the rivers. We need to have now the confidence that Jesus is our Savior. Therefore, by His suffering, His wounds, death and resurrection, we are forgiven. We are forgiven. We were guilty. We had all fallen short of the glory of God. But by the suffering and death of Christ and His resurrection, we are acquitted. Using the law language, we are acquitted. We have no case. Now we have the freedom to have forgiveness without giving anything. We are reconciled. We are liberated and restored to our former status and identity as children of God. Sons and daughters of God. Praise the Lord. We are blessed to be sons and daughters of God, forgiven, reconciled to God through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can now freely enjoy the benefits of Christ's death and resurrection. It was made possible by God's sufficient grace. St. Paul stresses this understanding of God's grace, the unmerited compassion, the unmerited favor, by stating that, "But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. We got access to the throne of God's saving grace, so we have no excuse. Hallelujah. We have no excuse. Those stumbling blocks can be eliminated, and we walk individually to the throne of grace to get forgiveness and reconciliation. Therefore, Easter gave meaning and fulfilled the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on Good Friday. St. Paul, the evangelist, stresses that resurrection is central to Christianity and Christian theology, the theology of salvation of humankind. Yes, the resurrection of Christ brings meaning. And Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 17 that if Christ had not resurrected from the dead, then Christianity would remain baseless. There would be nothing to celebrate. We wouldn't be here to celebrate, because there would be nothing to celebrate. In his letter to the Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, again Paul says that Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Colossians, same chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "And you who were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." So the Lord Jesus who died is calling us to holiness because he is holy, the Son, the living Son of God. What Christ did was to stand in the gap. We were defeated, we were lonely, we were isolated, but the death and resurrection of Christ bridged the gap so that we can have free access. John the Evangelist records the story of resurrection in John chapter 20 and verse 1 to 9. Actually, the whole chapter talks about it, which was our gospel reading this morning. And I want to quote the first two verses of that chapter. Early in the morning, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon, Peter, and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, and as you know, those are James and John, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Mary Magdalene went to the tomb in the dark hours of the morning, rather helpless and hopeless. She was the same woman who had supported the needs of Jesus and the disciples during the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. She had followed Jesus so closely, and she was present on Good Friday when Jesus died. So she was a blessed woman to be the first to see the risen Lord. We have come to celebrate celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Christ. Do you want to see Jesus, the risen Jesus? Are you ready to see him risen, alive, never to die again? The stone was rolled away. The tomb was empty. Jesus had resurrected, but Mary and other disciples did not know where the body of Jesus was. The tomb, which had been heavily guarded by the professional Roman soldiers, was empty. The guards fainted like dead men. Strange things happened at that moment. Violent earthquake had come down from heaven, and the angel's role was to remove the stone from the tomb. Verse 2, Mary went back quickly to tell the disciples, Peter and the others, the good news. Friends, we have all sorts of news. We read newspapers, local and international, on the internet, on the web, we hear bad news. But Christians throughout the centuries have had a wonderful story to tell. The stories we hear are bad news, and some of them are rumors. We hear people conflicting with other people. They hate them, they rumor monger, they mudsling them, and they hate them, even in families. But the good news we have a wonderful story of Jesus and his saving love. Praise the Lord. The wonderful story that has been told over 2,000 years. But people are engaged in rumor mongering, in political differences and divisions. They don't want to listen to the wonderful story of Jesus and his saving love. What story do you tell in your life, in your family, at your place of work, in your business, in your office as a civil servant? We have had a wonderful story to tell about Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the fountain of life, peace and hope and joy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. When we come to him in faith, all our stones of life are rolled away. Sin is forgiven. Hope is restored and new life begins. We need to be like Mary today as we celebrate Easter, to meet the risen Lord, to meet him at our points of need, individually and personally. Yes, we need to meet Jesus. We are living in difficult times, but Jesus is alive and he reigns forever. When we meet him, broken relationships are restored. Darkness and hatred, greed and unfaithfulness are driven away from the believer's life. Jesus Christ is the power of resurrection. His power becomes the light of the world, the dark world. Yes, one finds solace and great encouragement because burdens of life are lifted. What kind of stone do you have in your life, in your marriage, in your business? Most of you are businessmen and women in this great city. Many of you are civil servants. And whatever you do in your respective capacity, you need to look at your life. What has kept you miserable? You come in here to celebrate Easter every year in and every year out. What does this Easter mean to you as a Christian? Many are Christians by name. They want to be comfortable to be members of All Saints Church or other churches. And I know many people are worshiping this morning, but when they go home, they change as if we change dress. You change your Christian identity. That is the problem we have. And yet, Christ is alive. He is here to give us new hope, new perspective. Today in our world, dear friends, in our world and our country, we encounter many challenges, many problems. There are many burdens which are like the big stone at the tomb of Jesus, which was rolled away by the angel. Meeting the risen Lord, this Easter can be a great joy and blessing for you personally. Meeting Him in a new way personally will enrich you and your faith, because He is risen and He lives forever. He will never die again. He lives and He sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We have a great intercessor. Praise the Lord. You know, intercessors sometimes are limited because we are human beings, but we have a perfect intercessor, the Son of God, who came here, who understands our weaknesses, our limitations, and He is before the throne of grace, the throne of God, seated by the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and for me. Isn't that encouraging? He translates our weaknesses and then helps us to stand firm, and we got His Holy Spirit, the blessed Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to encourage us to move on, so that we do not look at our problems and fail to see Jesus, who knows better, because He was here. He had this weak and limited flesh, but He was God. He never did any sin, and He overcame the world. Christ is risen. It is good news to the world, dear friends. It is good news to the world. So when we meet Him, we are renewed and we are transformed. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5, the women were together at the tomb wondering what to do. And the angel told them a message of consolation that, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as He said. Come and see the place where He lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples." The women were blessed to see the risen Lord. Yes, His resurrection is the power that sparked off Christianity and has sustained it over the years by His Spirit. So friends, we are celebrating the great victory of Jesus when many things are troubling us and are threatening us. And we are so discouraged as individuals, as families, and as a nation. There are many issues happening, political, economic, and we are also being affected directly. Our families and our country and continent of Africa. We live in a state of fear and anxiety. All that we hear around us is bad news. Rampant land grabbing, especially church land, poor people's land, widows' land. May God forgive us. The rich people who have money continue to grab land of people who are helpless because they can bribe the lawyers, and they continue grabbing more land because poor people cannot have their rights respected. Yes, we hear killings and abductions which are on the increase. On behalf of the church, and indeed on my own behalf, I want to give my condolence and sympathy to the families that have lost their dear ones through those kind of killings of our innocent Ugandans, especially women. It is so sad to hear that someone has been abducted and then the killers ask for billions or millions of money for ransom. It pains us all as Ugandans. And we wonder, who is next? Is it me? Is it my member of the family, so we are in that state of uncertainty and we are concerned as Ugandans. Yes, and we pray on this Easter day for the killers to repent, because God does not desire that a sinner should die, but rather that he or she repents and lives for eternity. So we pray for those who have bad plans of killing innocent people to repent, and those who have done it, may God forgive them. If they don't repent, let me tell you, they also die, and they don't know what kind of death they are going to die. But may God help us to be our brothers and sisters' keepers, because nobody has the authority to destroy life, especially innocent life. We have poverty in our rural areas, which is on the increase. As we live in this great city, we hear the slogan that the economy is improving and getting better, but in our rural areas, it is getting worse. And we know we have relatives, we have students who want school fees, tuition at university. They keep crying to us. We know that our mothers, our brothers and sisters are suffering in villages. Things are not well. So poverty is on the increase, even when our economy, national economy, is said to be getting better. Unfaithfulness in marriage is on the increase. Yes, and domestic violence and marriages are breaking because of domestic violence in our country. Yes, we need to think critical about that. Our young people are very anxious. They are frustrated and distressed because they are jobless. Even after graduating from our universities, public and private, they go on the streets of Kampala and other towns of our country to look for jobs, and they get frustrated and they are taken advantage of to be taken for greener pastures, and some get miserable. They are tortured there, and that is why we talk about human trafficking. Many people do not want to talk about it. I know they are registered companies and they are not happy when I say this, because we have had stories, testimonies of our people who die there. Last year, New Vision reported over 400 Ugandans died. And then we want to appeal to government and the security agencies to make sure that our young people do not go to suffer. Those who go and do jobs, we praise God. They also bring money to do development in their homes and help their relatives. But those who are going to the unknown, may God help us to have this stopped. So we want to thank God that we are here as people of God because of this, as family men and women. When the Church of Uganda saw that the institution of marriage was being disturbed, and marriage is the foundation of a happy nation and church, then we declared last year, 2017, the year for the family. And because the church saw that there was more to be done, we extended the year for the family to this year, 2018. Our major focus, dear friends, is to make marriage more relevant and more respectable as God intended it to be. Our children need to be born and grow in homes where there is love and security and sanity. I appeal to wives and husbands, mothers and fathers, this Easter, to repent of any shortcomings and make your marriage enjoyable by showing love to your spouse and children, who are gifts from God. Our children are gifts from God. So let us intensify true and genuine love to our partners, our spouses in marriage, and be agents of love even to our children who are growing, and they're the future leaders of our country. When Jesus rose from the dead, the disciples were shattered by his death. When he appeared to them in the upper room, while they were hiding for the fear of the Jews, because they anticipated that they were going to be arrested like their master and be hanged like Jesus, they were fearing the Jews. He restored their hope and confidence. And he said, "Peace be with you." John chapter 20 and verse 19. "Peace be with you." The Hebrew greeting, shalom. He gave them courage and new hope. They were greeted in the power of resurrection. We all need peace. Dear friends, peace has become a rare commodity in the lives of individuals, the young people, the children, families, and in many parts of our country. You cannot trust the next person. You do not know what kind of person that one is. Yeah, we need peace. Peace of mind. Peace that passes all understanding. And peace, the true peace, is given by the Lord Jesus, who conquered death, rose from the dead, as we remember today. We all need His peace. Today we are reminded that Christ is risen and lives forever as our Savior and friend to give us His peace and joy, His peace in a troubled, dark and hurting world. Yes, wealth, power, and knowledge of man are necessary, but have their limitations. People are struggling, they are working hard, and I want to congratulate people who are working hard, not corrupt. Some, you see, when people steal public money and they go to villages, one puts up a mansion, villagers will say, he's a great man, he has built a great house, not knowing that that is stolen money. Yes, someone has gotten a job and he drives a wonderful car, and you wonder, does that salary he gets or she gets come up to buy such a car of millions? We need to be faithful stewards of what God has given us. So whatever we accumulate, I want you to understand me. I'm not against working hard and getting money. When you get your money in the right way, praise the Lord, go ahead. But there are those who are suffering and they have nothing. And we need to care for those who are not having money and having good life. We need to care for our neighbors, our brothers and sisters who are suffering. But the power of resurrection is liberating and reconciling one. Therefore, we have nothing to fear because we have Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. He is indeed our Redeemer. He is our Savior and He is our friend. Make Him your friend. Make Him your Savior this Easter so that you can have new life, new perspective in the one who raised from the dead and has gone to prepare places for us. As we await His glorious second coming for our eternal salvation, let us be ready to receive Him when He comes. Yes, He will come again because that is His promise. As He said in John chapter 14 and verse 1 and 2, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I am going to prepare for you a place. I'll come again and take you so that where I am, you'll be also. So as we walk our Christian journey, let us know that this world will have to come to an end, our lives especially, different times, but we have an eternal hope. We have an eternal destiny, and that is where the Lord has gone to prepare for us. So let us trust Him, let us love Him, let us repent of our sins, and let this Easter be meaningful and a blessing to you as a child of God, whose identity is to follow Jesus Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. May the risen Lord Jesus give you all His peace and joy this Easter and always. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Happy Easter to you all.